patience, reminding us to watch and wait for what God is about to do. The second candle is the candle of readiness, enabling us to look at our lives, to get rid of all those things that keep us from God, to change our ways and live as God would have us live. Come, see the lights. Let their brightness fill you. Come, feel the warmth of the lights. Let them give you comfort. Come, draw near to the lights, for God is breaking through to you. Come, rejoice in the lights. God is with us.
If you would please stand and turn to page 314 in your hymnals, we'll sing In the Garden.
Happy to see everybody today. And I have something to show you right here, and I need someone to tell me what this is. What is it? It's wrapping paper. What do we do with wrapping paper, Zachary? We wrap presents. What else? Did you finish what you were going to say? What? You get toys. You wrap toys with this. Yes. We give gifts to one another at Christmas time. So we have to think of what the person wants or find out from them what they want. And then we have to go make it or go to the store. And then we have to come home and wrap it up. And sometimes we put a bow on it. And then we put it under the tree. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do to get ready to wrap presents. Well, I want to ask you today how we get ready for the birth of Christ. Because that's what happens on Christmas Day, and we're in Advent. Remember we talked about counting the Sundays to Christmas Day? We're in Advent. And one of the things Advent does is prepare us for the birth of Jesus. So we wrap gifts with colorful paper and put bows on them and put them under the tree. What do we do to prepare for Christ, the Christ child to come? Can you think of some things that we do to prepare for Jesus to come? That's a hard question. Yes, Bradley. We decorate our houses. Bradley. You can go to church. Yes, sometimes people go to church more frequently. Megan? You can do what? Watch church on TV. Sometimes people do that. If they can't come, they watch church on TV. Well, there's a lot of things people do. And one of the things that we do is we give to others during this time, not just to the people we know, but also we give to people who are needy at this time. And one thing that our church is doing, Miss Rhonda mentioned it to you all, and that is we're giving out meals to the community. And we want everybody to participate in this, and we want you to participate on December 23rd so you can help out. Are you in school on December 23rd? No, you're not. Well, that's great, because that means you can come and help. And we need people to prepare the food. We need people to put the food together in meals, and we need people to hand out the food. And there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway, and I want everyone to consider doing getting ready for the Christ child, which is God's gift to us. And we have gifts that we give to the world because of that. Because Christ came, we want to give to others. And that's a very good way to prepare for the coming of the Christ child. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you for the spirit of giving, and may it reign in our hearts during this Advent time where we think of others before we even think of ourselves and the things that we want for Christmas, but also what other things people need for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Daddy anymore. She gets her candy and takes off. We continue to worship God with the giving of our tithes and offerings. If the ushers would please come. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we come to you in prayer today to thank you for your bestow upon us every single day of the year, but especially during this time, we remember the gift of your Son and how he came to save us. And it was because of your love for us and that we can never ourselves to you in whatever way that we can. Each gift is very important to you, and we thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us and help us to be the church you have prepared for us to be. In Jesus' name. Camp as a child? How many of you learned that song at camp as a child? Or in church, either one. All right. Great. So thank you for singing that this morning. I appreciate it. On pages 7 and 8, we turn in our hymnal first to make the invitation to all to come to our table, to God's table. And then we confess before we approach God. We spend some time speaking to God. But it's important to note that it says here that Christ, our Lord, invites to his table who? All who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the need. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Before comes up here to read scripture for you, I do want to share with you that Lloyd is here this morning for the first time in a long time. Rhonda has been attending regularly and asking us to pray for her mother. And last Sunday at the early service, we prayed for both Lloyd and Marlene, and following that service, discovered that Marlene had passed away about 8:30 in the morning on Sunday morning as we began our service. And I just want to lift them up as a family and as our friends to continue to be in prayer for them. I don't know how long it was, but it's been more than a couple of years that Lloyd had to take care of Marlene. And so he needs us right now.
Amen.
And needs us to be the church for him.
Amen.
And anything we can do, we will continue to uphold you, to lift you up, and give you whatever it is that you need, because we are your church.
Amen.
And that's what we're here for.
Amen.
So we give our hearts to you today, and to Rhonda and the rest of the family.
First scripture reading comes from Isaiah 11, 1 through 10, on page 784 in your pew Bible. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide which equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall I lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the earth. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Amen. And then continuing to Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12, pages 3 in the New Testament. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region around along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
If any of you are wondering what bucksnort is, you're about to find out in this story that a friend of mine told, a clergyman friend. He says, "The woman cried out, 'I'm lost. Where in the world is bucksnort?' The woman's plea made my wife, well, snort with laughter. Our friend Jeannie and the kids had come up from Atlanta to Nashville and visited a few days, and then they headed out to visit other friends further east at Tennessee Tech before heading back home to Georgia. They were supposed to get on I-40 East, but a little over an hour after they left, they called. When they saw the sign that said, 'Welcome to Bucksnort, they knew they had made a wrong turn somewhere. And after we finished laughing, we told her it was an easy fix. All she had to do was turn around and go back the other way on the interstate, and it would take her a little bit longer, but she would get there in time for supper. What Jeannie and the kids did was repent. They turned around and went a different direction. That's the meaning of the word metanoia, which is translated as repentance. It's a difficult word to hear, especially in the midst of all our getting ready for Christmas, because most of us have a to-do list that can be quite long this time of year. And I suspect that most of us haven't done half the things that are on our list. We're not on schedule. And sometimes these things on our list are not even things we want to do. How many of you really like decorating the tree? Oh, there we go. Yep, it's the exception to the rule. And they're certainly not things that make us more aware of God's will and God's way in the world. But it's the list, and we've always done it for Christmas. It wouldn't be Christmas without it. What are those things that wouldn't be Christmas without it, but you don't necessarily like doing them, but they are Christmas? What do you do for the sake of Christmas? Put up a tree. Yep. I knew somebody was a person after my own heart. Gift shopping. Okay, gift shopping. That's a hard one for men, isn't it? Okay. Anything else that's on our list that we could just as soon do without? Cooking a big meal. That's a hard one. That's a lot of work. So I have a suggestion for you. If there's any of this that's getting to be too much, there's a simple fix. It's what Jeannie and the kids did. Turn around. Go a different way. Put down your to-do list and back away. Take some deep breaths and take some time to think and to pray, to remember what happened on Christmas Day and what Christmas is really about. And maybe it will change your celebration. I don't believe that to repent is to beat yourself up for being a bad person or to cry out to God about how sorry you are, because I believe God knows how sorry you are. But John the Baptist, in our scripture reading, called the people today to bear fruit worthy of repentance. And that's what we're called to do at Christmas time and always. We're called to look at our lives and decide if we're going in the right direction. Are we going in the direction that we want to be going in? Following the correct path? Adhering to the way of Christ? And if not, now is the time to move in a new and better direction. No matter how far we've gone in the wrong direction, there's always hope with God. We can always turn and go a new way to the dawn of a new day in the life of the Spirit. The lessons that we have for today, and Rhonda read two of them, the one from Isaiah and the one from Matthew, but we also have one from Romans 15 as well. All of them are filled with images of hope, the promise of renewal that God is bringing into the world and into our lives at this time of year. The first sentence of the lesson from Isaiah is a promise of God's new day. It says, "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse." In the last part of chapter 10, Isaiah has talked about how God will cut down the kingly trees. He will strike down the forest thickets with an axe. But chapter 11 begins with that promise. Jesse, if you've forgotten, is King David's father. So the stump of Jesse is the line of kingly descent. And a righteous branch which sprouts from that stump is a sign of God's power to bring us back from the edge of failure and death to a new dawn of joy and life. And it's represented by the beautiful images that we heard in Isaiah of the peaceable kingdom. The promise of the gospel is the promise of hope. In the reading from Romans, it's full of reminders that our God is a God of hope, and our story is a story of promises made and promises kept. We read the scriptures, it says in verse 4, that we might have hope. Christ came to be a servant leader, a shoot from the branch of Jesse, that he might confirm the promise given to the patriarchs. And then there are those last two verses. The root of Jesse shall come, the one to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. And he concludes by saying, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So on this second Sunday of Advent, as the countdown to Christmas gets closer and closer, and there are fewer and fewer days in which to accomplish everything on our list, and you find yourself rushing from one thing to the next, if you find yourself in the buck snort of the soul, a spiritual place where you neither expected nor wanted to be, take a moment to stop and reorient yourself. Consider this a time and a call for repentance. Time to turn and take your Christmas in a new direction. A direction filled with fruit worthy of repentance. I shared with the children that one of the ways to prepare, and I think fruit worthy of repentance during this time of year, and truly year round, but especially now as we prepare our hearts to receive what God gives to us on Christmas Day, is the giving that we will do on December 23rd by providing meals to the community. So I invite you to make sure that you participate in that. Talk with Larry or sign up on the sign-up sheet there. You don't have to stay all day. You can just do a chunk of it. What is the first time? 1 to 3 is the first, and then there's 3 to 5, and then 5 to 7. So it's only a 2-hour commitment. And I know that all of us can help do that and provide a meal that someone might not have had this Christmas to make their Christmas one worthy. And we are so blessed to be able to extend ourselves and give ourselves in this way to people in need. Thank you and amen. I have to say, I am so grateful to be a part of a church that does this, that extends itself into the community to let the community know that God loves them. And we come to this table not because of what we have done, not because of what we do. We do those things out of gratitude. We do those things out of love. We do those things not because we must, but because we're called. We're called to repentance, to turn around and look for a new way and a new path. But we come to this table because of what God has done. God gave us this wonderful, wonderful gift. And he wants us all to have some of it. He wants us all to receive that gift. And that part is up to us. God has done God's part, and we are called to respond. On that night in which Jesus had dinner with his friends, he took a piece of bread and he said, "This is my body, and it is broken for you. I want you to eat this and remember me and be thankful." He also took the cup, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. All are invited. There's no way you can earn coming to the table. There's nothing you have to do, nothing you have to prove. It is God's table, and all are invited. You may freely come as you feel called and compelled to do, to receive the mighty gift of God today through this gift. Will you come, first the choir, and then you will be led by our ushers.
Thank you.
If you would please stand and turn to page 378 in your hymnal. We'll sing Amazing Grace. And we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with you. And as you leave this place, go in His peace. Amen.
Thank you.